Because this goes back to fucking college. You want to go there? This goes back to Humber College.
Okay. I have no clue what you're talking about.
When I told you I could take you down to O'Grady's.
Yeah, okay.
And I could have you mingle with the likes of Jeff Merrick. I could have you mingle with the likes of the greatest on-air personality in the history of wrestling audio, Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Do you remember that?
I do.
And I took you down there.
Yeah, and they weren't there when I went there.
Commish.
How are you, sir?
Sean, the Commissioner Cunningham, also known as Sean the Beast Cunningham. We're going back to the old school. I'm talking literally about the building. The old school we used to
build. That's right.
And this is a very special show. This episode will be available on Sendspace just for this week only. Because we're going back to the old school. But we're actually going international as well for the very first time, Sean.
Yes.
Are you excited?
I am very excited, sir.
Can you feel the adrenaline pumping through your body? We're going to go back and we're going to revisit. I was going to say how we met, but that sounds a little bit homoerotic. How about we just skip all the pizzazz, skip all the ring-a-roll, and we bring on our guest.
Yes.
None other than, for the very first time, making his debut here on Spreaker Web Radio, Sendspace, and Podomatic, Richard Weeks. What's up, Richard?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Long time no speak. I'll say that much.
Oh, long time.
That's for sure.
And
kind of disappointed, though. I was expecting to get my wrestling name.
I was trying to think of something. You know, I used to call you Ice Cold behind your back. I don't know why. I would just always be like, Richard Ice Cold Weeks. That was like, but I never had the courage to say it in front of you. I thought you'd like laugh me out of the building.
For real?
Yeah, but behind your back, you were known as Richard Ice Cold Weeks. This is a show for us, really, more than it is for the people, but I think they'll get a kick out of it, really.
Yeah.
Because, as I said, Sean, a lot of people think Wrestling Audio Revolution started in 2008 with that epic pilot.
The pilot episode.
And they don't realize, much like Star Wars, when they put out A New Hope in 1979, the year I was born, everybody thought that was the first and the beginning of the Star Wars story, but it turns out many years later we find out there was a backstory. There were three episodes that were sort of prequels.
That's right.
This is the prequel. Because Wrestling Audio Revolution did not start in 2008. Wrestling Audio Revolution started, believe it or not, during the Attitude Era.
It did.
In 1999, the fall of 1999.
Yes.
And we're going to hop...
Started or was it conceptualized? Not conceptualized, that's...
No, conceptualized is good.
I think conceptualized is much better than anything I could have come up with.
That's right.
This is why we go to the beautiful Bajan Islands. Something that anyone ever says, Richard? Do they say the Bajan Islands?
Well, there's only one island.
Well, so yeah. But do they ever refer to it as the Bajan Island?
Not really. Okay. You just say Barbados. There's a bunch of names. Barbados.
Right.
Bimshire, Bim, not... England.
Oh, bro, wow. This is an educational show, too. This is the beauty of it. We're learning about geography from our boy, Richard.
That's right.
I don't know if we've ever had, first of all, a better-looking guest on this show. I think he's also going to trump us when it comes to the education department. He's also going to trump us when it comes to... like we just heard, geography, Sean. And you don't know. I know one thing that did used to bother you is when people would call it the Barbados, right?
For sure.
That's the no-no. So never refer to it as the Barbados, people.
I've never heard of it referred to as that. I don't think I've ever done that.
You've never done that, Sean?
I don't think so.
I used to always say the Barbados, and he would always look at me and be like, are you the Luke? And I'd be like, no. And he's like, well, it's not the Barbados either. Is it the Canada, you white honky jackass? And I'd say, no. But anyway.
I don't remember saying that, but it sounds exactly like me.
Yeah. So we all met at the old school.
Yes.
Humber College. And Richard, how did you end up, of all places, in Toronto, Canada? What was it that attracted you, or was it a certain program, or what brought you here, of all places?
It's not a very exciting story, but if you want to hear the story, I'll tell you.
I like stories, whether they're exciting or not.
Stories are always fun.
They are.
I was in secondary school at the time, which is like high school over there.
Yep.
Yeah. And Humber College came to Barbados looking to recruit students, so I went to their fair, and so it was the accounting program that I was going to join. And basically, my parents kind of suggested/forced me to go to the program, so that's how I ended up in Humber College.
Well, I mean, Richard not only looked young when we first met him, Sean, the motherfucker was young.
Yes.
Were you 16 when we met you, Rich?
Yeah, 16.
16 years old, and this guy is in the accounting program at Humber College.
That's crazy.
And all of us, not knowing each other, but just living at the residence, wrestling was really at a place that it certainly hasn't been there since that time.
Definitely not.
We haven't seen a boom period like this, because, I mean, at that time, it was so much a part of the culture. And it was something that everybody was always watching on Monday nights. If you could find a lounge, or even more than one lounge, you'd have a bunch of people in there watching wrestling. They knew all the characters. They knew this, that, the third. And Richard, before you got to Canada, and was it as popular where you were living before you came to Canada, or was it definitely more popular here at the time?
That's hard to say which one was more popular. But I would say it was definitely very popular here in Barbados at the time. It was like two times when wrestling was really popular. It was like Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair time, and Stone Cold Rock time.
So
it was very popular.
It's the exact same, obviously, the exact same here.
It was conversation. It would be in every conversation among people in my age group.
Okay, so that's interesting, because I was always wondering if you kind of came here and got your mind blown by how popular it was. Because I didn't really know at that time whether it was internationally as popular as it was here in North America, but clearly it was. So we used to all watch Raw and kind of met each other through that in the college.
Yep.
Sean, what are some of your best memories of that time in terms of watching wrestling? Some of the things that you saw, or just some of the good memories of that time when we would always be watching Raw every Monday. And it would, again, like Richard says, it was conversation. Water cooler talk, right?
Every single week, almost, for the entire week. One of my strongest memories from that time is the night that Chris Jericho almost won the title.
It's funny. It's the exact same memory I have. That's so funny. And I swear, Rich, we didn't talk about that, and we didn't kind of prepare that. That's one of my, like, top memories of that night. We all watched it on my floor. What floor was it? The sixth floor? I don't know.
I think it was on, I think we're on six. Oh, no, wait. I was never on a six.
You weren't on our floor, but me and Rich were on the same floor. And I remember watching that Raw, and Chris Jericho beat Hunter for the belt in that first segment. And all of us were partying like it was friggin' New Year's Eve.
Yep.
And then only, like, we were, like, bugging. We were just like, we can't believe this. This is the greatest night ever. They go to commercial, they come back, they tell us that didn't happen.
Yep.
What you saw did not happen, and Chris Jericho is not the champion. And I swear that may have been when the air got let out of our balloon and maybe we stopped. This is also another one of the beautiful things of having Rich on the show. The man lives near an airport.
Yeah.
When you hear these sounds, it's the sound of an airplane going over his head, essentially.
Yep.
So that's funny, Sean, again, that you would bring up that memory. I also, one that really stands out to me was the night Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Perry Saturn, and who was the fourth, sorry? Chris Benoit. How could I forget?
That name that we're not supposed to say anymore.
The night that they all jumped over. Because it was, I was not really an internet guy. Obviously, the internet was pretty new, really, at that time.
Yeah, it was like 2000.
And we had it in the residence, but I wasn't exactly, I don't even know about these dirt sheets or the dirt sites or anything. So when I see them showing up on Raw, I had no idea they even left WCW. Richard, any memories of anything you saw during that time that you remember, you completely linked that with, you know, residence? Obviously, Austin was in full effect at that time.
Yeah, Austin, I think there was a time when Stone Cold drove a milk truck down the ramp and holds off like the corporation in the ring.
The beer truck.
Oh, yeah. Okay, there was a milk truck later with Kurt Angle, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but Steve Austin drove the beer truck. Oh, man, that was like one of the pivotal moments of the Attitude Era right there.
And that was many Rock promos, many Rock promos.
Yeah, Rock was definitely our guy at that time.
Well,
but
sure.
Before we go on about some of these great stories and reliving this, again, this time when Wrestling Audio Revolution was conceptualized, thank you, Richard. You know, Sean, it's funny, because this gentleman on the line, Richard Weeks, was actually the first guy to start telling me some insider shit.
Oh, that's right.
He started saying something about, like real-life shit about the wrestlers, and I remember being, like, looking at him like, what the hell? Like, and then I remember asking him, where'd you hear that? Right? And at the time, whenever anyone said the internet, I was always like, oh, yeah, the internet. Like, I didn't even know what I was talking about. But I assumed it must be all bullshit.
Yeah.
And then he says, no, I heard it on a radio show. And again, I look at him like, a radio show? A wrestling radio show? And he says, yeah, and he sort of told me when it was on, and it's on such and such a channel, and it's called Live Audio Wrestling.
Yes.
And I thought, okay, this guy's crazy. I think he might have been listening to a sports show, and he thought it was a wrestling show. Sure enough, the next week I tune in, and there's a two-hour wrestling show being broadcast out of Toronto.
Yeah.
And this kind of led to a whole other chapter of us going down to O'Grady's. Do you remember these days, Richard Weeks, of going down to O'Grady's Tap and Grill?
I do. What's funny is that I did not know that I was breaking news to you by telling you that.
You absolutely were ahead of the curve. I had no idea about our show. I really didn't know that these sites were anything other than just like tabloids. I thought it was like the National Enquirer.
Yeah.
Right? Which it is in some ways, some of them. But, you know, the credible sources aren't. But, yeah, you broke the fourth wall, Richard Weeks, for me, Luke Force. So, again, it's one of the reasons we had to bring you on here. We had to give you your just due. And
finally.
and we will, again, continue to relive some of these great moments throughout this hour. But one thing about O'Grady's Tap and Grill that I remember, other than smoking a lot of weed with Dan the Mouth, was the night that Vince Russo and Eric Bischoff took over Nitro. Because I don't know if you remember this, Sean. They used to play them both at the same time.
Well, that's right.
So they'd be playing Nitro and they'd be playing Raw on one of the screens. And then depending on what was the best thing, that would be what was on the big screen. But we watched the relaunch episode of Nitro. And I remember Richard Weeks was there with me. I remember Brad was there, Richard. Remember that guy?
You're making my Brad. Oh, yeah. Brad, I remember Brad.
Brad was like, you know, the pinnacle of a Mark fan.
Yeah, for sure. My clear memory of Brad is he's wearing his Know Your Role, The Rock t-shirt with the bull in the front, the Red Bull. And he has a masking tape drawn in black for the people's eyebrow stick on his forehead.
Did he do that for Halloween or something like that?
I think it was just a watch Raw one day.
See, this is the kind of chicanery that was happening with all of us, these wrestling fans, in this boom period of wrestling, living in the same building. But no, I remember Brad was there, and it was like all insider. That whole show was just insider shit. You know, nobody knew if you weren't a fucking insider or an internet guy or a live audio wrestling fan, you wouldn't have even known what they were talking about on that Nitro. So me and Rich, we're like bugging out. We're like, oh, like all the insider shit. And Brad is just sitting there like, look like, honestly, like a spaceship just came down and aliens walked out. And he's just trying to like decipher what's going on. I thought for sure, too, when you were explaining Brad, Richard, that you would have say something about the Know Your Role shirt being tucked into his jean shorts. But enough respect to Brad, in case maybe he has, you know, smartened up to the business and he's listening right now. No disrespect, brother. I know you put our friend Richard up there a few times in your house and fed the man. So we won't rib on you too hard. We'll just say that, you know, you kind of resembled Jason Priestley in 90210. You were very clean, very clean cut. Your room was always perfectly organized. Nothing wrong with that. And your hair, you know, not there was never a single hair out of place. But anyway, enough about I'm not hating. I'm just stating.
Okay. Just dig the hole deeper. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying, brother. You had that Club Monaco swag going, dude. All good. But yeah, I remember being down there at O'Grady's, high as shit with Dan the Mouth, and I remember Richard Weeks being there with me, and I remember Brad there, and we were again watching this relaunch of Nitro. Sean, I don't know if you were there, but
I wasn't there for that. But I did see the show.
This whole fucking culture was just wrestling at that time. O'Grady's on a weekly basis would be packed to the gills. We like would have a hard time even finding a spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was everybody was there to watch Nitro and Raw, and oh my God, I can't believe this. Oh, this guy's jumping over here. I think we might have even been there the night Rick Rude appeared on both. But this was the whole culture. I have Richard Weeks to thank for that, for bringing me in and showing me the way. But right now, Rich, just to sort of, we'll go back to some of the good old stories, and there's lots of them. But right now, 2014, how popular is professional wrestling in Barbados right now? Is it kind of exactly what we have here? Is it still kind of popular, but it's just nowhere near what it used to be? Or is it like something that you would never bring up anymore? It would be embarrassing? Or what exactly is the popularity of WWE right now?
In my age group, it's definitely embarrassing. I should say I hardly watch wrestling nowadays, hardly ever.
Well, I'll be sure. Yeah, that's fine. And no, you know, you're again perfect example of a guy that fell off at that time, right, Sean?
Exactly. How many people do we know that like 2001, 2002 just jumped off?
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think Richard was even a little smarter than that. I think he may have jumped off early 2001.
Yeah.
So he knew when he saw a sinking ship.
I've actually never really seen Brock Lesnar wrestle that much.
There you go.
So I jumped off before Brock Lesnar.
Yes.
That was 2001.
Well, just think about it. I mean, at the time when we were watching it, those Raw shows were drawing 7.5 at the end of that Attitude Era. 7.5 was like the norm. And today, you know, 3 is the norm. So that goes to show you how many less people watch wrestling now. And I think a lot of that has to do with the buying of WCW. Was there one thing you could point at, Rich, that kind of turned you off, or was it just, it just wasn't the same, the stars were just burnt out, you were overexposed, oversaturated? What was it? Do you remember? Was it anything, or did you just find yourself not being interested anymore?
I remember one of the things that pushed me away was a lot of the racism on the show. A lot of stereotypes on the show. Just negative stereotypes being portrayed. So that kind of made me not want to watch it. And then it just wasn't as interesting. It wasn't as exciting.
We've talked ad nauseum about that stuff. But it's weird. It's like we just, I wouldn't say accept it, but it's just one of those things, parts about being a wrestling fan that maybe we just kind of are desensitized to. So I that's interesting to know if a lot of people were turned off by that. But again, like Richard said, it wasn't just that. It was the fact that it was just not as interesting anymore. A lot of that had to do with the overexposure, oversaturation, buying up WCW and kind of killing it.
It wasn't as much fun when there wasn't competition, when there wasn't a new guy jumping every night. And the feeling was that WWE got really arrogant after they took everything over. And it wasn't entertaining. And they pushed certain agendas much too hard.
Go ahead,
I wouldn't even say that WWE got arrogant. I would say they got lazy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I would say lazy.
Like, I mean, stuff such as Steve Austin turning heel and hugging Vince McMahon. They pretty much admitted that was a mistake. I look at that, though, as one of the really pivotal moments of a lot of fans being like, this is ridiculous.
That's where people checked out.
Do you remember that, Rich? At the end of a WrestleMania, it was The Rock and Steve Austin. And at the end, Steve Austin actually turned heel and sided with Vince McMahon. Had you already checked out at that time?
I'm having no memory of that at all.
That goes to show you, this guy, man, this guy knew. Yeah. He knew when it was time to jump, and he even did it before that. So that's pretty cool. Another sort of unique part about having Rich on the show is I believe that he has the unique experience of having a parent or parents, I don't know, that are into wrestling. Is that true still? I know your mom was like a bigger fan than you were.
Yeah, my mom, that's how I know what's going on in wrestling today, is because of my mom.
She's a hardcore.
She watches it almost religiously.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, in terms of watching, like, would she even watch SmackDown?
Or if she could watch Sunday Night Heat, she would watch Sunday Night Heat.
Well,
she could watch WWE Superstars, she would watch WWE Superstars.
So I don't know if she has any of the kind of devices. This is one thing with the WWE Network coming up and the fact that it's not a traditional network that you can order through your television. Would your mom be interested in purchasing the WWE Network when it becomes available in Barbados? I don't know. Again, I don't know if she has any of the kind of devices you can play it on, like a PS2 or an Xbox or any of that stuff. But has your mom mentioned it to you at all? And do you think this might be something she would be actually interested in?
She's mentioned it, but she hasn't talked about buying it.
Well, it's still a little premature, right?
Yeah, it's still very early to say. But I don't think she'd be opposed to it. I don't think she would say, oh, that would be a waste of time. But I do think she would be disappointed if she did watch it.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is, too, it's like, I mean, by the way, if she is not interested in that, we could send her some, you know, DVDs of Sunday Night Heat, the best of Sunday Night Heat, if she wants. That would be a short DVD.
About an hour?
But,
well, that's how I got into wrestling.
Right, right. It was something that was just on in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, like so many.
WCW, WWE. Now, they switched. They watched TNA for a while, but that didn't last too long.
It's just like here, Sean. It's the exact same, folks. Other part of the world, it's going to be a whole different mindset, a whole different culture. No, it's the exact fucking same. Just with much better weather. We hate you, by the way.
It's snowing here, dude.
Oh, God, it's horrible. The weather's been so bad, Rich. God. When's the last time you stepped foot on Canadian soil?
I think around 2004 or
and
so.
That was
2005, somewhere around there.
Now, that was after graduation?
Yeah, that was like a year or two after graduation.
Okay, did you move away and then come back for a visit, or was it just you were still living here at the time?
Yeah, I stayed. Well, I graduated twice. So after the first graduation, then I did school again, then I graduated, then I spent about a year and a half after I finished.
So you graduated twice. That's pretty sweet. You just were like, you had so much fun the first time you thought you'd do it again? Or are you just a glory hog and you just like, you know, the big grand presentation, the ceremony?
Which one do you think it is? Let's see, how well do you know me?
Definitely you loved the grandstanding. You like being the center of a big presentation, and you wanted to do it again. Am I right?
Ain't wrong. I didn't like my first program, so I changed to the second program, and I never went to the graduation ceremonies.
Okay. I thought you were going to say there for a second you didn't like you know, the way you looked at the first graduation or something like that.
That's more you.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll be back with much more here in part two. We're going to talk a little bit of current wrestling and get Richard's feedback on some of the things happening right now. And we're also going to share some more great stories. We're going to talk about the Outback Steakhouse and some interesting people, let's say, that myself and Richard Weeks have seen at the Outback Steakhouse. So we'll share those memories of us marking out in the Attitude Era. But before we do, for Monday Night Raw, for instance, do you watch it? Like, or your mom, you don't watch it, but your mom, would she be watching that live through the USA Network, or does it get carried in Barbados live, or exactly, or is it, you know, on a delay, or what time would she be watching that?
We used to watch it on, or she used to watch it on the USA Network, but I recently changed cable providers.
Okay.
So we don't get USA anymore.
Oh, okay, I see.
So I would download it or rent it from a video store.
Rent
in Barbados, yeah, in Barbados you have bootleg video stores. So if you don't have cable, you can go to the store and buy a DVD or rent it. But nowadays it's usually buy. So you can buy any show you want. You can buy CSI,
What?
I don't know, American Idol, Raw, buy the
Really?
pay-per-views, yeah.
And this is
And
all illegal, or is this totally legal in terms of
it's not legal, but it's accepted because Americans won't let you watch it any other way.
Right.
So,
Got to do what you got to do.
like the pay-per-views, that's how we would watch pay-per-views. You either go to a bar and watch it,
Right.
or you rent it from one of these stores. You buy it from one of the stores.
Now, how quick would the changeover be? Say for Monday Night Raw, I wasn't able to watch it. Would it be a situation where, like, the next day you could rent it or buy it, or would it be a few days, a week?
A really good store will have it the next day.
Wow.
Not so good stores 2 days later, and depends on how hot
Yeah,
that
right.
show was. Because
Gotcha.
if it's, they can make it available the next day, but then when you go, all could have been gone.
Right. Okay,
Yeah.
that's it. So you got to be on the ball. How many copies of a particular show would they have? Just one or a couple?
It depends.
Yeah, right. Again, if it's a boring, week of Raw, not very eventful, it probably wouldn't be rushing to get it out there.
Yeah, and it depends what other things are they have to produce too. Like what other shows people want.
Right, it's not all about wrestling.
Right. It's not just a wrestling shop.
No. If you had a bootleg wrestling shop like that, I would move there for sure. If the weather didn't bring me there, the bootleg wrestling shop most certainly would. So,
And we watch right now. We're an hour behind y'all. So Raw starts at 8 now.
yeah.
So for us, it'll start at 9 and finish at 12.
Right. Well, for a long time, we didn't necessarily get it at 8 o'clock live either, did we, Sean?
No, we had some weird 15-minute delay up here. It was really strange.
Yeah, so in Canada, even we were, 15-minute delay, and so that's why I was wondering, like, if it was live there, or if it was just, through the USA network, you get it there, or what exactly. So that's fucking interesting, I must say. So you guys can learn more in part two, the Bayesian experience here with iChard Weeks, and of course, the commish is with us, because it ain't Wrestling Audio Revolution old school without the commish, that's for sure. So we'll be back with much more. Richard Weeks, Sean Cunningham, Luke Force, part two coming up in just a second. Back to Humber College.
Okay, I have no clue what you're talking about.
When I told you I could take you down to O'Grady's,
yeah, okay.
and I could have you mingle with the likes of Jeff Merrick. I could have you mingle with the likes of the greatest on-air personality in the history of wrestling audio, Dan the Mouth Lavransky. Do you remember that?
I do.
And I took you down there.
Yeah, and they weren't there when I went.
And this is the extended Podomatic version, as I have promoted during the show. And we will get right back to the Canada to Barbados Skype line with our dear friend Richard Weeks as we get into old school war. But you know what? If we're going old school, Sean, there is something we need to do. And
Oh,
since this
boy.
is the Podomatic extended version, what better place to give the people the little bonus treat? Why don't you hit that music, Jim?
You're a person with no redeemable qualities. And all the candy apples have raised blades this Halloween. And it's all because of you. You're cheap and despicable. You cheat every obstacle. You overcome. You'll find a way to do it underhandedly. You're my heel of the way. You're a heel, you're a heel, you're a heel. That's why we love you. That's why we love you. You're the heel of the week.
Yes, for those of you that don't remember the early days of Wrestling Audio Revolution, we did have a segment called, what was it called, Sean?
Heel of the Week.
And that was a little segment that we would do on every show where we would, both positive or negative, it didn't always have to be, you know, the best heel of the week. Sometimes it might be the worst heel of the week. But it was a segment where we would like to celebrate the darker side of professional wrestling, the evil side of professional wrestling. And I will say this, Sean, WWE really, really has something in Bray Wyatt.
They do.
And I hope that they don't, because of his popularity, because again, guys that are talented, they always get over. But I hope to God that they do not turn him babyface and make him Hillbilly Jim Jr., because he is a fantastic heel. He does things, the mannerisms, and the way he gets heat, and just the facials and everything. There's nobody like him in the business right now. And when I think of old school heels and the way he looks, I mean, it's hands down for me a choice for a heel of the week, no question about it, and I definitely think he is a great heel.
I 100% agree with you. The one thing I will say, and we've talked about this several times on the show, any great heel, it's based in some degree of truth, and eventually what you have is the fans will kind of start to listen to that and believe some of it, because every great heel is based in somebody else's feelings or the opposite opinion to the majority. And that's why great heels always work. And that's why majority of the time they get turned babyface at some point down the line.
And just, again, like I said, the facials, when he was in there in that final segment, people talk about how great Bryan was and everything, but Bray Wyatt was just as good, if not better, in terms of the actual performance of that final segment. And he made it very memorable, again, with the things he was saying, the mannerisms, the facials, the voice, everything. Yeah. So Bray Wyatt, definitely my choice, since we're going back in time to the old school. We're doing Heel of the Week again. You, Sean.
Yes.
I know you love a good heel. I know you love to make fun of a bad heel. Which one's it going to be this week, Sean?
Oh, we're going to make fun of a bad heel. We're going to make fun of a bad heel. And a program that brings me a great sense of pain, because we've already seen it. In Randy Orton.
Perfect choice for a bad heel.
Randy Orton is a heel that you want to hate, but not for the right reasons. You don't hate Randy Orton because he makes you hate him. You hate Randy Orton because it sucks. This week, what we saw, Randy lost a match to Kofi Kingston, which is a shocker in itself, and then went completely ballistic through a temper tantrum that a five-year-old could have thrown better on television, and proceeded to beat up John Cena's dad, who happened to be in the stands.
An absolute heel cliche, don't you think, at this point?
It's not even the cliche that bothers me. What bothers me is they've already done this exact program with these exact people. Not that long ago.
Yeah, Randy's just not over either, you know what I mean?
No.
He's not over in a, you know, it's not like the fans are cheering him like they wanted him to turn babyface. They're not really booing him. He doesn't have serious heat as a heel. I saw the guy live in Toronto like a couple weeks ago even.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was not over on either side of the fence.
No, and it's very clear to me that what WWE has done is they've rushed the title unification and they're desperately trying to get heat on this match. Because with Cena going into the Royal Rumble, because there is, nobody's talking about it. This is not the match everybody's talking about.
And there was a time that Randy was over as a babyface. He was red hot as a babyface at one time.
Yep.
And there was a time when he was over as a heel.
Yeah.
They have really fucked up both of those things.
Well, because if they used him during Raw, they brought out Ric Flair to try and get him over as a heel, and even that didn't work.
So anyways, a perfect choice for a bad heel of the week.
Yep.
Bray Wyatt, my choice for a good heel of the week. Let's get back to the Canada 2 Barbados Skype line and the Bayesian Prince, Richard Ice Cold Weeks. Part 2 is now underway of this week's episode of War Weekly. We're going old school and we're going international. We got Richard Weeks on the line. Richard, are you still there?
Here I am.
We also have the Commissioner Sean Cunningham. Are you still there?
I am still here, sir.
We were talking before we took off there in Part 1 about the Bayesian experience of watching Monday Night Raw, and Richard was telling us, for anyone that didn't hear it or you're listening live, definitely want to go back and check out Part 1 and hear about some of the contraband methods that are used for a wrestling fan to watch Monday Night Raw. I like it better than here myself. I think that we need to adapt that system.
That method is actually a lot better because you don't see the ads.
You don't see the ads, and
they edited the commercials?
Yeah.
Nice.
Imagine how sweet that is.
That is nice. That is nice. If only
no
they
commercials.
Yeah, you had mentioned to me in one of our messages. Before we get into the story, why don't I just ask Jim? Jim, would you just run the clip? This is the very closing moments of the finale of season 2 of Wrestling Audio Revolution. Back when we used to do the big super shows once a month. Remember that, Sean?
Yep, I do.
When we could barely even get together once a month to do a show.
It was so tough.
But we did our big pay per view, and this was the finale. There was some internal drama going on at the time. Now, Jim, play the clip, and we'll come right back, and I'll tell the story of how Richard played into this story. Go ahead.
You do not throw rocks at a machine-gun-wielding maniac. I'm not saying I'm a maniac, but you don't do that. And as far as you, well, I don't know what you're laughing at, Sean.
Okay.
This is the end of Wrestling Audio Revolution as we know it.
Okay.
This is the end of me and you.
We gotta slap the taste out of your mouth.
You really think you're a big shot.
Yeah, I think I'm a big shot.
Get out of his
this
fucking
guy ain't
face.
Gonna do shit. Mike ain't gonna do shit.
Fucking gay.
His girlfriend might do something, but she's the only one with any balls in this fucking room.
Kill it, kill
okay?
it. Kill it. Kill it.
Fucking
kill it.
Kill you. Kill it.
Okay, I must say I'm a little embarrassed by what we just heard. I'm a little you know.
You should be.
Yeah. And you know, again, me and Sean, I feel kind of funny bringing this up because we have already worked this out, right, Sean?
Yeah, we worked this out a long time.
As Richard's Learjet is about to pick him up here, but we'll ask the Learjet if it can just hold off a few minutes. Maybe, I know it's a private plane, so he shouldn't have any problems waiting for another 20, 25 minutes. Maybe a week after that show aired, Sean.
Okay.
And I was thinking, oh, cool, Richard's hitting me up. You know, when you just see the message, you don't haven't read it yet. Then I read it, and my heart sank. I must be honest with you, because what he said to me was not great show, was not, hey, I've been listening here in Barbados, you guys are doing great. What he said to me was, why are you treating Sean poorly on the air, basically is what he was saying.
Yeah.
And it put me in a position to really think about what I was doing. Yes. And obviously my first reaction was that of a defense, kind of a defense tactic. And I thought, oh, this guy doesn't know me. I haven't talked to him in ages. He just thinks he can come back here and tell me what to do. And then I thought about it. And I thought, you know what? This is Richard Weeks. This guy, he's part of the family. And for him to say that and to have concern and to take the time out of concern for you, Sean, and our friendship, it really made me decide, after a few months of really thinking about it, we need to patch this thing after a few months of talking and thinking
Richard
about
laughing
it.
Laughing there all the way to Barbados.
I had to throw that in there. But again, Rich really brought this back together. So another great reason to have him on the air. Did you know that, Sean? Did you know?
Stubborn. Still stubborn, I tell you.
he's a peacemaker, is what he is. But did you know that, Sean, that he played a part in me having a change of heart?
I didn't know that.
Well, I just know, Richard, we may not have heard from him for a few years, and he may be on the other side of the world, but he's still looking out for you, dude.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
You're most welcome.
Big brother Richard. And then the second time I've heard from him in recent memory, I guess, was just a few weeks back, and this was more the kind of message I was hoping for. He said, the show is sounding better than ever. You guys keep improving. I'm listening and relaxing here in Barbados. And again, just basically saying, "Good, keep up the good work." And that was when the light bulb went off and I said, we need to get this guy in the air. Now, Rich, your mom has kept you in the loop a little bit. And I know you said you're not a fan of JBL. You're not a fan of Michael Cole. Who is?
I was going to say, nobody blames you.
It's too bad you don't have a Bayesian announce team. Like, that would be really dope.
I mean, think the Spanish announced team will be more entertaining than
I don't know about that. Yeah, that's true. Oh, definitely that. Oh. But then again, for the people in Barbados, how are you supposed to relate to these tightly wound, annoying white people anyway? JBL with his case of the repeaters. I work in a friggin' nursing home, and I swear to God I haven't seen a case of the repeaters worse than JBL. Besides the commentary...
You have anger toward JBL.
Yes, well, absolutely. The commentary's horrible. And Richard said to me he hasn't sat through a whole episode of Raw because he can't get through JBL and Cole.
Well, that's a good reason.
Very accurate. Not 1 minute. Not 1 minute. I can't get past them. Michael Cole, you can get past Michael Cole, but JBL and Michael Cole is a bit too much.
It is absolutely too much. There's no question about that from anybody here. And no. I don't really meet any fans that enjoy the commentary right now.
No.
Far and wide. So, and anyways, besides them, Daniel Bryan. Let's talk about him. Have you seen much of Daniel Bryan? And if so, what is your opinion of him and his popularity right now?
I saw the end of Raw, the last Raw.
Oh, good.
Which was quite impressive.
Yes.
It was the steel cage match.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, the end of that. So you have seen this week's Raw, or at least the end of it, which is really the most important part.
Yeah,
I saw the RKO match versus Kofi Kingston, and when John Cena came out and stole the spotlight.
As usual.
Yeah.
And Kofi Kingston, I mean, I like Kofi a lot. I don't understand what they're doing of having him go over Randy clean like that, especially when you know it'll just be to have a rematch and have Randy squash him.
Well, when I saw that, I was like, whoa, maybe... Kofi's actually going to get a push now. But then I said, no, it's Kofi Kingston. They're going to find a way to squash him. 5 seconds later, John Cena runs out, and it's all about John Cena saving his daddy.
Yeah.
No one remembers Kofi Kingston anymore.
Nope.
Fair point.
He gets it, Sean. He knows.
He does completely.
I thought he was going to say, and I was going to have to break the bad news about Kofi. I thought he was going to say, you know, I started to think, hey, they're going to start going with Kofi. But then he totally... squash that, shut that down, no. But then I realize it's Kofi Kingston. So this guy's, although he's casual with his wrestling viewing, he gets it.
And that's good to know.
What was your take on that, Sean, of Kofi all of a sudden getting a clean win?
I had a sense of what was going to happen when I realized in like the second or third segment that John Cena's dad was there. That fear that I had of, oh my God, they're going to go back to 2007. They did exactly what I thought.
So that wasn't something to put over Kofi Kingston. That was just a nice little bridge to have Randy get pissed off and beat up John Cena's dad. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
I agree with that.
Now, as far as Daniel Bryan, and by the way, just before we keep talking about the segment, which was awesome, by the way, I do admit, it was a great ending to Raw this week. Daniel Bryan has, terminology, he has received a concussion from that match that he had, the steel cage match. And at first, my first reaction is, it's Daniel Bryan. He was in ROH. He used to get a concussion every night. But it turns out, as we hear, the Learjet's getting a little pissed off. Again, Richard, just tell him you're the boss. You're the boss. He's not the boss. He doesn't tell you when to go. You tell him when to go. But anyway, Daniel Bryan has received a concussion, and I didn't think too much of it, but it turns out it is actually quite a serious concussion. He did not remember anything about the second half of that match or the ending.
That's crazy.
Impressive.
And to think that thing was as good as it was and he, you know, was as over and as just, I mean, you couldn't have had the crowd more in the palm of your hand, could you, Sean, than that night?
No, there was that visual as they went off the air of Brian sitting on top of the cage and that wide shot of the entire crowd doing the yes chant. If you don't believe he is over, you should have after that moment.
And, yeah, again, to think that he doesn't remember such an awesome moment is a little bit sad, actually.
Yeah.
That would have been something in your career that you'd really want to be present for mentally. But, anyway, the fact is, Richard, had you been sort of following this angle, or was this just the first time you saw this whole Wyatt family angle with Daniel Bryan, or did you already know exactly what was going on?
Well, like I said, my mother keeps me informed.
Yeah.
I don't have that much to talk about with my mom, so I asked her how wrestling is going, and she'd inform me of the storylines. So I knew what was happening, but I never saw it happening.
I think Richard and his mom need their own podcast on Wrestling Audio Revolution Network of just him saying, so how's wrestling going? And then his mom just going off and Richard just being like, wow. That would make a great podcast, really. It really would. So we might have to contact your mom about that. But anyway, okay, so that's good. You understood then what was going on with that angle.
Yeah.
Did you realize, too, that it seemed a little bit fast-tracked because they actually only started that angle 2 weeks ago?
To me, it's what I expect from WWE. WWE does everything very fast now.
Oh, yeah. Everything's microwaved. Batista. The name Batista.
Does yeah, I know Batista. I'm from Evolution.
There you go.
Very good.
Well, Batista is returning soon. It looks as though right now Daniel Bryan is out of the Rumble, Sean.
Oh, that's so unfortunate.
Because of this concussion, he's been pulled from the live events and stuff. And I don't know how much that throws a monkey wrench in what they had planned. If they had decided we need to put, you know, have Bryan win the Rumble, I don't know if that was something. It was definitely, I would think, in the it was definitely in the shorthand of ideas, I would think, of what they were planning. Yeah. But it looks like Batista may be the guy to win the Rumble. If it's not him, who would you say, Sean?
I think they're going to go back to CM Punk.
Yeah, that one you could do too. The only thing being, his match is going to be with Triple H at WrestleMania.
Well, but I think Bryan having a concussion throws a monkey wrench into the entire card.
Well, I don't think so, because it's a concussion. You know, I don't. Just him not being able to be at the Rumble, I don't think that changes the whole WrestleMania card. I don't believe that for a second.
Well, it depends how bad the concussion is.
Well, that's true, and none of us know that. But right now, I don't believe that that's something that's going to completely throw the WrestleMania off. I think by that point, things should be good, one would assume. But again, like concussions, I guess you never really know.
Yeah.
But yeah, Batista's coming back. There's another gentleman coming back, and I can't wait to get Richard's reaction to this. And you can go and call your mama. Somebody call Richard's mama.
And
tell her that the WWE, according to Uncle Dave Meltzer, who I think we met one time down at O'Grady's as well one time. That was kind of an experience, meeting Dave. But it is being reported that Hulk Hogan has reached a verbal agreement with WWE and will be involved at WrestleMania in some capacity. They are saying that he will not be wrestling. They don't think he can pass a physical. Duh.
No.
But, Richard, your opinion on Hulk Hogan returning to the WWE for WrestleMania 30. What do you think about this?
I'll give you the general Beijing response when people hear stuff like this. The response is, he's still wrestling?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
We don't want to see granddad wrestling.
We don't want to see granddad grandstanding. So that's basically how it goes there. And I mean, we feel the same way here, you know, in North America. Sean, where do you put Hulk Hogan in the WrestleMania card? And what do you think his involvement will be?
I think it all depends on...
Oh, Hogan should be the usher.
Ticket taker. There you go. Yeah. He can sell programs. But
I won't be shocked if he's like a referee in some capacity.
That's what you think. Well, I got a little bit of a story for you as well here before we get into these old school memories that we've been sharing throughout the show here with Richard and Sean Cunningham. It was announced kind of out of the blue, but I guess tickets are going on sale. They wanted to bump the tickets up. And they wanted to get people buying those things right now. The Ultimate Warrior has been announced as the first inductee into this year's 2014 class of the WWE Hall of Fame. And they are saying right now that the leading candidate to induct the Warrior is none other than Hulk Hogan.
Okay, I thought the speech would be good. The induction might be better.
Now, Richard, I don't know if you are aware of this, but the Ultimate Warrior over the last few years has gone on the internet and made some shoot videos. I'll send one of them your way after the show here, and you can sort of check it out. So the next time we have you on, you'll have that frame of reference. But he's made some shoot videos, meaning like out of character, the real guy, Jim Hellwig, and basically talked about Hulk Hogan, aired out all of Hulk Hogan's dirty laundry in his real life, essentially. Talking about, you know, him and his wife being swingers, affairs that they've had, how his wife offered, you know, her poutine pie on a platter to the Warrior and he turned it down. Stuff about Hogan and his drug habits and his drug abuse and pushing drugs on other people around him to keep them all fucking subservient. So this is really kind of a huge story that people are saying that Hogan will be the guy to induct the Warrior. Now, Hogan was asked by TMZ this week about his reaction to the Warrior being announced into going into the Hall of Fame. And Hulk Hogan, ever the bullshitter, said he's a great man. Nobody deserves it more. There you go.
Hogan knows enough to always...
True, though.
It is true. No, and Hogan, you know what? He's a professional. He really is. He's a liar and he's a bullshitter. But when it comes down to it, he is a lot more professional than Warrior, for instance.
Ultimate Warrior is an icon of that time. It's Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man, Ric Flair. That's it.
That's the short list. He's so right about that. And I've had this argument with fans. First of all, Sean, before I go off about the conversations I've had with fans about this, your reaction when you saw that, that must have blindsided you a little bit.
Warrior getting inducted, well, you and I had talked about it, that, okay, it was being talked about, okay, it might happen. Did I think he was going to be announced as the first inductee to boost ticket sales? No. And like we've talked about, that speech, whoever's inducting him, his speech is going to be entertaining as crap.
And the only thing that sucks about it, I guess they will release the whole thing, but the only thing that sucks about it is that that thing is so friggin' edited when it goes to television. So if he goes into business for himself, I mean, it's all going to get cut out anyway. But I mean, it's an interesting story, that's for sure. And Richard said it best. I mean, whether you think this guy was a good wrestler in the ring, quote unquote, whether he was a good technician, whether it was your cup of tea, his whole presentation, the promos, whatever, the guy's
a star.
He's an icon. He's an icon. And I hear the fans say his career wasn't long enough to be considered for a Hall of Fame. Again, he's an icon. He's in that short list of guys when you talk about the big boom period.
Well, he's one of those guys.
Triple H.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. You bring up the name Ultimate Warrior and you bring up the name Triple H in a casual conversation with non-wrestling fans and you see who knows who. So,
well, let me. I have a story that puts this into perspective for everybody here. I have a younger sister who's 7 years younger than me, and she's had, unfortunately, numerous boyfriends who are also wrestling fans, and she had to watch the Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior DVD. And I got a call from her about a week after she watched it and said, why did WWE put this DVD out that made him look so bad? Because when she was younger, and I made her watch wrestling, she loved the Ultimate Warrior, so that... You know, that puts into context how big of a deal he was.
And that also goes to show how, like, petty the WWE is and how vindictive they are and how they think they can always come out smelling like roses when they do this shit. And in the end, they just made themselves look so bad and so bitter. And funny thing is, too, that Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior DVD, Ultimate Warrior sued WWE over that DVD.
Yeah.
And he won. He won that lawsuit. They played... video footage of Hulk Hogan and his, you know, his talking head shit that he contributed to that, and they actually proved it in court to be lies.
Yeah.
So again, it's kind of funny that he's back, and I've heard that there's going to be a new DVD, an apology DVD. Richard, through your contraband methods of your bootleg video stores, had you ever seen a DVD called The Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior?
My question is, do people actually watch these DVDs?
Yes.
People do?
Not people with a life, but people. Sean and I watch it because we do this show and we got to cover it. Right, Sean?
Yeah, there's that sense of obligation to watch it even if we don't want it.
That's our excuse and we're sticking to it.
Yeah.
I've never watched any of those DVDs, not even Stone Cold, Rock, Bret Hart.
No.
I don't want to hear your personal story. Just entertain me on the TV.
Oh, I wish more wrestling fans were like Rich, but. Unfortunately, they're not. And we always want that inside glance. We always want to hear the sob story. And WWE, they like to put that full house emotional music, you know, behind the Muzak behind a lot of the scenes. So I'm glad to know that you never saw that DVD. Basically, you can pretty much imagine what it was. It's called The Self-Destruction of the Ultimate Warrior. It was a DVD made to show everybody how shitty the Ultimate Warrior was. Right. And like, bought it. Everybody bought it. And the reason they bought it was because they liked the Ultimate Warrior. That's why.
Yeah.
So it really backfired on the WWE. They actually, again, got sued over it. So they're going to put out the We're Sorry DVD. The rebuilding of the Ultimate Warrior? I don't know.
Yeah,
the reconstruction. Something. The reconstruction of the Ultimate Warrior. That's what it will be called.
Yep.
And the funny thing... Sorry, guys. I just had to clear my sinus there. The funny thing is that Ultimate Warrior also said he wouldn't do anything with WWE until Vince came out publicly and apologized for that DVD. So I'm thinking that the beginning of the new Ultimate Warrior DVD will be Vince... publicly apologizing before anything. That's great. I'd love to see Vince getting, you know, raked over the coals, and he's, you know, thinks he's in control of everything. I'd like to see when people like Warrior put him in his place.
Well, between this and Bruno last year, I'm like, makes me wonder if the world's coming to an end or something.
A whole lot of humble pie being served up in Titan Towers these days.
Yeah.
But it's best for business, guys.
That's
but
right.
You know why that is?
Tell me.
Because WWE does not have any new stars. So they have to go back to their old stars and beg. And whatever
you.
The old stars say, they have to go with because they don't have any new stars.
Thank you very much.
And that's the exact truth. He absolutely nailed it on the head. And this is another one of the reasons I don't understand why they decide not to go with certain guys that are over, that are new stars, that are current stars, that have a whole career ahead of them. They go ahead.
Paging Bryan and Punk and Dolph Ziggler at different points, and lots of other guys that they could have used.
Richard, again, nailed that on the head. Now, we're going to share some more of our old school memories here, guys, before we head out of here. And we're going to go back to the Outback Steakhouse. Sean, did you ever attend any of the journeys up to the Outback Steakhouse from Humber College?
I don't believe that I did, but I know the stories.
Richard Weeks tells me he just saw Hunter, China, and X-Pac at the Outback Steakhouse, among others. Do you remember this particular story, Richard?
No.
That goes to show it actually made more of an impression on me than it made on him. And he saw it with his own eyes. But what you told me is that you were walking up to the Outback Steakhouse. Oh, I know what it was. Somebody that worked there was friends with Brad. And we described Brad in part one for anybody listening right now saying, who the fuck is Brad? Brad is a guy who liked to tuck his shirt into his shorts. But
Todd Grisham.
Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah. Brad is Todd Grisham.
Brad is Todd Grisham, just not as cool. But anyway, now that we've buried Brad again, we keep trying to put him over. But somebody called Brad from the Outback Steakhouse, and they said, dude, there's a bunch of wrestlers here. Come over to the Outback Steakhouse. I was outside. I was doing my usual thing, and I was not a part of this. But you guys all jumped in a cab, or you jumped in Brad's car, or whatever, and you raced down to the Outback Steakhouse. And this is the story you told me, Rich, and other people confirmed this. This is true. You were walking up, and as you got to the front door of the Outback Steakhouse, coming out was none other than Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Do you remember seeing Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Of course I remember seeing The Rock. I don't remember seeing X-Pac. But I remember seeing The Rock.
Yeah, so you ran into...
A bunch of us went... Now that you tell that story that way, yes. A bunch of us went to Outback Steakhouse. Someone heard that wrestlers were there. But when we got there, most of them had left already.
Right, all so the main eventers.
We were waiting to get a table. And The Rock walked straight past us. And the rain was pouring. And The Rock was at his rental car. This black Lincoln, I think. And I ran outside to ask The Rock for an autograph because I had walked with my Abramo Bull to get an autograph.
Right, right. Yes, of course.
And The Rock took it from me. He's like, where do you get this? Like, I cut it off a poster. Oh, I never saw this before. And he just put it on the car and signed The Rock.
Really?
Yeah.
He patted you on the back?
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
Oh, that's awesome.
And Rock is like the biggest star in WWE at that time, too. This is not like Rocky Maivia.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. He is everywhere. And Richard is just, having this random meeting with him outside of the Outback Steakhouse. I didn't know that he signed something. What was it? It was a flyer that you ripped off the wall or something?
It was a poster I think I had, or a picture from a magazine, and it had cut out the Brahma Bull out of it.
Wow. That's wicked.
I put Brahma Bull on the wall, and I took it down and took it to get signed. Unfortunately, I have no idea where that Brahma Bull is now.
Oh, really? That sucks.
The memory is cool.
And again, he's such a big star internationally at that time. He really could have just said, I'm busy, kid. Leave me alone.
You know, in the rain falling and everything, he's not like, not no.
And then I remember you said you went inside and you saw the Hardy Boys. Actually, no, you said that you saw the Hardy Boys in the parking lot as well. But then when you went inside, it was X-Pac, it was Hunter, and it was China, all part of DX at the time. And they were sitting at a table together. And
your memory is so good because I don't remember these things until you say them.
And you, I remember, I don't know if it was you or if it was Brad or somebody, but supposedly it was like a pretty heavy conversation they were in, it looked like. Anyway, maybe they were just tired, but a few months later, 6 months later, you and I ventured up there, Richard, after you had told me about what happened the last time they were in town. And we went up to the Outback Steakhouse, and Kurt Angle was the world champion at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And Sean Cunningham, I did the absolute number one no-no of meeting any kind of celebrity.
You went all fanboy on us.
That's number two. That's the number two rule. But number one rule is never go up to their table when they're eating.
Oh, God, you didn't.
Not only did I go up to their table when they were eating, I went up from behind.
Oh,
and gave Kurt Angle a hard pat on the back. And he had headphones in, so I really startled him.
Oh, dude.
This guy could have stretched me like friggin' Gumby. He could have put my leg behind my head, my arm between my legs, my toes in my mouth. He could have done whatever he wanted to me. That sounded really homoerotic as well. nonetheless, again, Richard was smart enough, as he always was in these situations, to hang back. And I marched right up there, and Richard kind of stayed a good meter back just to be like, I don't know about this one. Sure enough, Kurt was cool. He was not. This is the Kurt Angle before TNA, when he still, you know, seemed to be in his right mind anyway. And he was there with Christian, and Christian was in a bad mood, but Kurt was cool with us. And that was the end of our Outback Steakhouse experience there when I actually did attend it with Richard. But that was known as, it goes to show again how hot wrestling was. Everybody knew this is the place to go when wrestlers are in town.
On that occasion, we actually sat down in the booth, I think with Kurt Angle and Christian.
Yes,
Kurt Angle and Christian were on one side, me and Luke were on the other side. Kurt Angle was busy eating, and Christian was busy bitching.
He was. He was bitching about the crowd, I guess, at the Skydome that night.
He's like, I came back to Toronto and no one's popping for me.
Yep.
This is my hometown. I don't get it. I'm in America and everyone's popping. Bitch?
He was whining. He was in a bad mood. But again, we are coming and we're sitting down at their table when they're just trying to eat. Funny thing, him and Kurt weren't talking either. Kurt had headphones on. He was listening to something. And Christian was just there in his own little world of anger and bitterness. And we saw ECW legend Sabu.
Okay.
Against a couple indie geeks, basically. But the whole drawing card of the night was Sabu coming to Toronto. And I remember all of us outside. And when Sabu arrived, I remember grabbing Richard's arm. Almost like I was hiding, trying to hide behind him. And that goes to show you, like, I mean, the kayfabe level of this. We've seen the shoot interviews with Sabu now. We realize he's not necessarily a bloodthirsty killer that will tear your throat out if you say hello to him. But that was what we thought at the time. And I have that vivid memory of us standing outside when he arrived, Sabu, and me grabbing Richard's arm and kind of trying to stand a couple steps behind him. I was expecting Richard Weeks to protect me against Sabu. That's the funny thing.
And you also had the opportunity to see your crush. You know who your crush is. Not a man crush, a crush.
Now, I'm a married man now, so I'm hoping this one doesn't give me trouble. But who was my crush at that time?
Mr. 420 himself.
Oh, that one.
Mr. RVD.
Really? We saw RVD?
I think so. We went to the ECW show somewhere.
Oh, yes, of course.
You went to the ECW show in Mississauga. I remember that.
The Hershey Center.
Yep.
We saw, yeah, that's right. Me and you were there, Rich. Who was with us?
I think Justin.
Me, you, and Justin at ECW. And that was actually a show, I don't know if you realize this, Richard, that was like the nail in the coffin for that company. They lost so much money doing that show coming across the border. I guess they weren't able to get all the money out of Canada. That was actually one of the things that was pointed at as the end of ECW, that show in Mississauga.
Which is so sad, because that was an awesome show.
It was a great show, yeah. That was one of the TNN tapings, and yeah. I'd love to go back and watch that and to think it was me, Justin, and Richard there in the stands. But nonetheless, the Sabu thing, I just thought it was funny that I was all treating Richard like Miss Elizabeth. I'm like hiding behind him. I'm gonna push him into Sabu if Sabu comes my way.
Rich, and then what would you have done if Sabu had charged?
He could have run. Sabu would not have catched him.
No, no, there's no way with his beat-up body that he would catch Richard. But me, on the other hand, I had pretty bad knees and I had a bad back and all that stuff. So that's kind of a different story. But again, I thought it was so funny that my natural reaction is hide behind Rich, and if there's any problems, I'll push him in front of me. And then,
the
sure enough,
from wrestling, I tell you.
Yeah, exactly. But the funny thing is, too, that when Sabu actually did walk past us, Richard very calmly just said, "Hey, Sabu." And he said, "Hey." But I was terrified. And then he did the big dive on our side. There was like nothing separating us from the ring. Do you remember that? He did the big triple jump, launched it to the outside, right almost on top of us.
Oh, that's right.
He did a bunch of stuff to the outside. He did a springboard moonsault.
All kinds of stuff. Like he, and it was, again, maybe 200 people, I guess, in that gym. I don't know. 150 people? How many? What do you think?
Maybe 150 people.
20 people. Well, before we wrap it up, I do also think we need to reference one other thing. I still owe you, Richard Weeks, if you ever come back to Canada, if you ever come back to Toronto, I have retired as a professional wrestler, but I've got to, honor my commitments and my obligations and my promises. If you ever come back to Canada, I still owe you a title shot.
What title is this?
Basically, what it was, I don't know why, but we did a match at Humber College on the grass.
Oh,
yes.
And funny enough, again, it's cool to have Richard here to be able to tell this or to be able to relive this with us, Sean. That was the birth of the nickname the Commissioner Sean Cunningham.
That's right.
Because Sean was the commissioner of our little Humber College, I guess you'd call it wrestling league, that only had two guys in it.
The commissioner and the commentator.
He was both. He was both.
I was both. I had many, many jobs.
He may have even been the cameraman. I'm not sure. But
no, I think Justin was the cameraman.
Right.
Ryan was the referee. Or Ryan was the cameraman and Justin was the referee. Something like
Justin
that.
Justin was definitely the referee because I remember seeing him on camera. That's right. Okay. Ryan was involved in this as well. But what we did, and again, I want to apologize to all the Bayesian people right here. Because this is being heard around the world. And again, Richard told us and sent us that message saying he listens to the show in Barbados. So this show, Sean, is being heard around the world. But for my Bayesian people out there, I did cut a promo. I did run down your beautiful island. It was a heel gimmick. It was not my true feelings. Trust me when I say that. I got nothing but love for the Bayesian people. You guys live in paradise. And we're just
so
jealous. We're just jealous. And again, that was just a heel gimmick. So I want to apologize for anything I said in that promo that they didn't see. I know Richard was a little hot about it. I could tell that he was like, I'm cool with doing this, but don't be running down my...
apology not accepted.
Not accepted. And we had our match, and Richard did his little inset promo as well. And it was on some Bruce Lee Kung Fu shit. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
He was throwing spin kicks at a tree. he was doing the whole, like all that stuff. And again, if I only could find the VHS that has that on there with Sean as the commissioner.
Oh my God.
Myself against Richard, we worked a match. A bunch of local kids just from the ghetto, essentially, which is really what Etobicoke was. It's not a ghetto like you would expect the way it looks. But there is a lot of gang activity, and there's a lot of
it's a
rough part of town, really. It is, actually.
Yep.
And I'm not even joking about that. In terms of Etobicoke, that's sort of one of the rough areas just outside of Humber. So a lot of just the local kids came around, and they were watching us. And I thought there'd be trouble, but of course, they were just entertained as hell. They were
that's
popping
right.
for everything. And so we worked the match, and my whole thing was I'm going to put Richard over, then he's going to come down to our promotion in where I live, Port Hope, where both of you guys have been, by the way. Richard's also been here to visit before. The whole gimmick was I'm going to put Richard over so I can bring him down and give him the title shot in Port Hope. Just never worked out that way. No. So again, I still owe you that title shot if you ever want to deliver a second super kick to my jaw. Beautiful kick, by the way. Do you remember the kick, Sean?
I do. It was really good.
And funny enough, we actually watched that match in residence, and some people that were just like not from our floor even were in the room.
Stop watching. Yeah.
People were popping like crazy. I think we put on a pretty good match, actually.
Well, here's my question. If you come out of retirement for one match, what is your wife going to say to this?
Just don't get hurt or I'm going to divorce you. That's basically it. As long as you can still, bring home the bacon, so to speak.
Yeah.
Then no problem. So that's basically the way it goes in terms of me and my wrestling career. But I'll be dead honest with you. I have no interest in taking another Richard Weeks super kick. I thought it was Tajiri hit me with a buzzsaw when that happened. But nonetheless, it was my own fault. It really was. Because I was the one. There it is. The Learjet. I know. We'll let him go. He's on his way. He's on his way, Learjet.
You're impressed by my private jet?
I am.
Absolutely impressed. But again, you gotta lay down the law sometimes with these pilots, dude.
Legit, Rich. How many times a day does that happen?
I don't know.
Is it every 20 minutes or what?
I don't notice it anymore.
Really?
Yeah. I only know a plane passing over when you guys say something.
Oh.
Isn't that awesome? Wow. You always got the love of your brothers here in Canada. If ever you do want to come and touch down in Toronto again,
you're
always welcome to. We'll put you up in a 5-star hotel.
Yeah.
And, I'll hold you to that.
and maybe we can do a big super show there in the what are they called? The ballroom.
In the hotel lobbies, yeah.
Yeah, we'll go in, we'll get the whole hotel ballroom and we'll do it in there.
There you go.
You know, it's one of my peas when I left Toronto is that the next year WrestleMania came to Toronto.
Oh, what? Dude, trust me, you didn't miss much.
Yeah, you missed a bat. Well, you missed Hogan and Rock.
Yeah.
If that
was still the production of the show is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, true.
To be there.
Yeah. So you tapped out just a little bit early on that. But again, like Sean says, that wasn't the best WrestleMania ever. And
no.
There will be another one someday.
I would think so.
But nonetheless, thank you very much for being here.
Yep.
I'm sorry if I was a jerk too in those days. I was, we all go through times kind of being a bit of a prick. So,
yeah.
I think there was times when I was kind of a jackass. So.
Oh, but before we let Rich go, my lovely better half had a question that she wanted me to ask.
Go ahead.
She wanted to know if you knew somebody named Robin. And Luke might know this reference that I'm getting from too.
I think he knows.
I think he does too.
Who is Robin?
I'm laughing at this question. Right. How many people do you think live in Barbados? Many?
Hey,
you know someone named Robin?
Hey,
not even a last name, Robin.
Okay, Rich.
Am I Robin?
Okay. Luke's laughing and he killed the whole thing. There's a very famous person around the world now.
Oh, you mean Rihanna?
Yes.
Okay, no, I don't know Rihanna.
Okay.
I don't know her personally.
All right. My girlfriend wanted to know.
Okay. So that her real name is Robin.
Yes.
Yeah, Robin Fenty.
Wow. Yep. You know her whole name.
Yeah.
Well, she's from Barbados.
Yeah. And you've been parked outside of her house there for about 3 or 4 nights a week. So that's another reason you probably know it. But anyway, I thought, was that it was going to be somebody that he knew when he was in Toronto. I didn't realize it was going to be a celebrity.
No, this. I was asking on behalf of my better half, who is the celebrity junkie. You know that.
Yeah. Whereas no,
they just asked me if I know Rihanna.
Yeah.
Robin.
Well, no. I was told. To ask, okay, I'm following instructions. Okay. I was told to ask if you knew Robin. That was the instruction I was given. That's what I'm going with.
Okay. Well, I know Robin, but not her.
All right.
You do know a Robin?
Yeah.
So you want me to luckily she's not here right now, so I can do that.
Well, that's good.
Actually, when you've been in a relationship for 10 years, you learn to just do what you're told. It's okay.
It's true.
Yeah. Coming from Finland, people always ask you, do you know Bob? You know Shelly?
Shelly!
I don't live in a community of 20 people. I don't know everyone on the island.
No.
All right.
Anyways, this has been a hell of a lot of fun. Richard, will you come back? Will you be a reoccurring guest on this show? Because we like having you around.
Yes.
If you want me to, I will.
Okay,
Thank you very much, sir.
That's a yes. And again, I'm very impressed with the international connection here. He sounds very crystal clear, besides the Learjet getting a little impatient. And we will be back again next week, everybody. Again, we want to thank Richard Weeks. And we got a little song we're going to play get out of here for my man, Rich. So thank you from myself, the commissioner, and Richard Weeks. We would like to say from Canada to Barbados and around the world, peace, love. Shanzi, tell them the rest.
Wrestling on your revolution. Sexy girl, let me can't get you. Get a good one, that below. I'm murder when me step in the club. Watch out for this. Watch out for this. Watch out for this. Watch out for this.